Now, in our adult Bible classes, we've been studying the duties of Christian fellowship, but today we will not be studying that particular topic, the duties of Christian fellowship. Today's class is actually a special class which I have titled Some Vital Practices for the Nurturing of Your Christian Life. Some Vital Practices for the Nurturing of Your Christian Life. And on behalf of your pastors, I plan to encourage you to take up and read your Bible, which is, of course, most important of all, but also to take up and read excellent Christian books. And I'll explain more of that in a moment. So there are several reasons for giving this instruction at this time. First of all, your pastors want to exhort each of you to make it your prayerful, determined purpose to read your Bible each day and then to execute that purpose. You know, we can have a purpose to do something, but then not fulfill the purpose. So your pastors want to exhort you as the people of God to make it your prayerful, determined purpose to read your Bible each day and then execute that purpose. As the year 2019 comes to a close, and as we're about to enter a new year, now is the time to renew your commitment before God to read His Word each day and to store His Word in your heart. We would urge you to establish a realistic Bible reading plan, and there are such plans available online, various Christian websites. There are paper versions available here and there and down in the bookstore, but establish a realistic reading plan of your Bible. Begin and continue through the year ahead. Do not give up. Do not give up when you have been sick. That is, you've been laid aside truly sick and cannot read. Do not then give up after that. Take it up again. Or if you've missed a day or two for some providential reason, don't give up. Persevere. Now, we're going to turn to a number of Bible passages. So I'd like you to now turn to Psalm 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 9. Young men are addressed in this verse, but of course, this applies to young women. It applies to older men, older women. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word have I laid up or hidden or treasured or stored up in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you see, there's a scripture passage that you can hold on to that justifies regular Bible reading. The psalmist said that he took the word of God and he treasured it in his heart. He stored it up in his heart for the end that he would not wander away from God, but rather serve and love God. So that is one reason for this class. It is a renewed call to read your Bible every day. But secondly, we, your pastors, want to exhort you to make it your prayerful, determined purpose to read excellent Christian books in the year ahead, and then to execute that purpose. So this second exhortation grows out of an earnest concern of each of your pastors that you carve out time in your very busy schedules to read Christian books. Don't neglect your Bible reading, but carve out time in your busy schedules to read Christian books that will deepen your understanding of God's Word. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13 and verse 36. There is, of course, no verse in the Bible that says, read Christian books. There are plenty of principles that teach us to read and study the Word of God. But I think you can extract from the Bible principles that show us we should read Christian books. So Matthew 13 and verse 36. Then he, Jesus, left the multitudes and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Explain or declare to us the parable of the tares of the field. This is not the only time the disciples did this with Jesus. So what did he do? He explained that parable. He opened it up further. And you see, this is what good Christian books do. If you were to purchase a Christian book that deals with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthews 5, 6, and 7, and there are such books by Sinclair Ferguson, by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, as an example, they take and explain, declare that passage of Scripture. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Of course, the immediate application there is your relationship with other Christians, with other people. If you have a good Christian friend, he or she should be like iron sharpening iron as they converse with you, as they share burdens with you, as they exhort you. And so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. It's a mutual reality. Well, when you read a good Christian book, it is like a friend to you. Obviously not a physical friend, but it is like a friend to you. That good Christian book will be like iron sharpening iron. So this is another reason for this class. We want you to prayerfully be determined and purpose to read excellent Christian books in the year ahead. But a third reason is this. In order to encourage you to read excellent Christian books, we are presently increasing the number of titles of such books in our bookstore in the church building. And we want to, as pastors, give you some background information about what we have been doing behind the scenes, what we're coordinating with the deacons as well. So earlier this year, 2019, your pastors began to discuss and pray about ways in which we could strengthen our bookstore offerings for the good of the people of God. And to that end, we asked Pastors Pinheiro and Martinez of our sister church in North Bergen, New Jersey, if they would be willing to unite our bookstore here with their larger bookstore operation in North Bergen. Now, many of you may know, although I do not doubt that some here would not know, that the North Bergen Church has already for a number of years been managing our online bookstore, Trinity Book Service. By uniting our bookstore's operation here in the church with the North Bergen Church's bookstore, we will be able to increase our bookstore offerings in our church building without increasing our physical inventory. And although such a challenge will create and has created some bumps in the road during the transition period, which we're now into at this present time, we believe that this will be a blessing to the members of Trinity Baptist Church in the short term and in the long term. And because we do have new members and even visitors in our midst, I would like to state some facts about our online Trinity Book Service and our bookstore in our church building. Facts that you need to know. First of all, both Trinity Book Service Online and the church's bookstore continue to be the ministries of Trinity Baptist Church. They are not ministries of the North Bergen Church. North Bergen is managing these ministries for us, and they're glad to do it. They actually enjoy doing this, but they will remain the ministries of Trinity Baptist Church. Secondly, the books that we sell through Trinity Book Service Online, as well as in our bookstore here in our building, and indeed there in North Bergen, they're not sold for profit. Many of you know that. We do not sell these books in order to make money. We're selling them as best we can, basically at our cost. And we're doing that, of course, to get good Christian literature into the hands of people. Now, all of the books sold through these ministries are usually, whenever possible, sold for less than what you would pay at Amazon or any other online Christian bookstore. And again, I don't say that because we're trying to produce income or get rich. The point is, we want you to understand that these books are being sold not for profit and at a price, wherever we can, lower than even Amazon, so that you can take advantage of such a good price to get good Christian books. But unlike many Christian bookstores, whether online or brick and mortar, we endeavor to sell only those Christian books which we believe are doctrinally sound and worthy to be read. So we do not offer everything. However, having said that, we are always open to suggestions. If there's a Christian book which you have read, which we do not sell, and which, based upon your reading of the book, you think would be worthy to be sold in our bookstore, come and speak to one of your pastors. We're open to suggestions. We certainly are not aware of every single book that has presently been published, a Christian book. But fourthly, and this is really more to the heart of matters, we are living in spiritually dangerous, difficult, and dark times. Pastor Carlson knows that I think that's called alliteration, dangerous, difficult, and dark times. And that is what we're living in. And therefore, we need to do all that we can individually and as a church to strengthen ourselves spiritually. And again, first of all, it is daily Bible reading. Of course, it is coming to the church on the Lord's Day to hear the preaching of the Word of God. It's coming to prayer meeting on Wednesday nights to join your heart with others seeking God for the advancement of His kingdom. But we are living in spiritually dangerous, difficult, and dark times. And so we want to do what we can do to strengthen ourselves spiritually. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1. But know this, Paul writing to Timothy, the young pastor, but know this, that in the last days, grievous or difficult or perilous times shall come. So the last days are the days in which we are presently living, between the first coming of Christ and His return, His second coming. We are in the last days. Paul said, know this, understand this, in the last days, grievous or difficult or perilous times shall come. Why? Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of self. Don't you see that in American society? Lovers of money. Don't you see that all around you? Boastful. Don't you see that all around you in American culture? Haughty. Railers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Traitors. Headstrong. Puffed up. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from these also turn away. You see, what Paul was describing to Timothy in his day certainly is here in our day. In fact, I think it's heightened in our present society, in our present day. Now turn to Proverbs 24. And verse 10. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Well, if we are in the last days, which we are, if these last days are grievous and difficult and perilous, which they are, then we do not want to be fainting in such a day of adversity. We do not want to have small strength. So how will we get strength? How will we not faint in this day of adversity? It is, first of all, by being soaked in the Word of God, reading your Bibles, but also taking up the iron, as we've already noted, of good Christian books to sharpen yourself. Turn now to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Very familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of you, if not all of you. The Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, brethren, Bible reading and reading of good Christian literature will help us to put on the whole armor of God. And indeed, there's a Puritan writing about this very passage by William Gurnall, which is excellent. So these are some of the background reasons for this class today and for these exhortations. So now, just briefly, just a quick review, the need for personal Bible reading each day. If you have been inconsistent in your personal daily Bible reading, then begin this new year by repenting and bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Turn back to Psalm 119 again and verse 57. Psalm 119 and verse 57. The Lord is my portion. I have said that I would observe your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to your word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to observe your commandments. You see, this is what we are to do in any situation where we are convicted of the reality of our remaining sin. And if we've been neglecting our personal Bible reading, we should start the new year, start even today, of course, with repentance, taking the very words of the psalmist here in Psalm 119, making haste, do not delay to observe the commandments of God, turning your feet unto his testimonies, praying and saying, Lord, forgive me for my neglect of your word. Forgive me for that. But Lord, help me now and through the year ahead, to indeed follow you by following your word, by reading your word. Feed me from your word. Give me a delight in your word. That's where you start if you have been neglecting your personal daily Bible reading. But now, secondly, remember that spiritual and practical prosperity are tied to the studying of scriptures. This should be obvious, but the obvious often escapes us. Turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. So remember that spiritual and practical prosperity are tied to studying the scriptures. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. So you see here these wonderful truths You become like a tree planted by streams of water. You bring forth fruit, spiritual, practical fruit, throughout all of your life, no matter what the season of life. When you are meditating upon the Word of God day and night, you see the principle there, to be studying, meditating, obviously then reading the Word of God every single day. And of course, the psalmist was probably indeed doing that, meditating day and night. I realize, we are occupied legitimately with many matters on our minds. When you're tending to your young children, when you're having a sleepless night with an infant that you're nursing, when you are at the job site working away and seeking to focus on what needs to be done next, of course God understands, we understand, the Bible understands, that you're not literally taking every second of every minute of every hour and meditating upon God's Word. But the point is this should be a practice in your life. This should be a pattern in your life. And whenever you can do that, you should do that. If you're ironing the clothing in your house for your family, you can be praying and meditating upon the Word of God. If you're doing some task at the office that is relatively mindless, and there are sometimes such tasks, you can perhaps, while you're doing it efficiently, be meditating upon God's truth that you've read that very morning. So this is what we as pastors are urging you to do, to remember that spiritual and practical prosperity are tied to studying the Scriptures. And you see that in Psalm 1. But thirdly, follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who clearly read, studied, memorized, and applied the Scriptures to his life and to those about him. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Where Jesus was confronted by the temptations of Satan in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And so we know that God, by his word, does give us life and breath in all things. And here Jesus is reminding us through these words that we are to obtain our spiritual sustenance, our nutrients, from not earthly bread, but from the Word of God. And on this occasion, the Lord Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy. Now turn to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 3. Matthew 12 and verse 3. But he said unto them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath, that is, they worked on the Sabbath day, and are guiltless?" We'll stop our reading there. Notice how Jesus said twice, "Have you not read? Have you not read in the law?" Jesus, as true man, read the history books of the Old Testament. He quoted here from 1 Samuel 21. He also clearly had studied the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. For here he also quoted from Numbers 28. So you see, it wasn't Jesus reaching into his omniscience as God. It was Jesus as true man who studied the Word of God. It's a mystery for us. He's truly God, truly man, in one person forever. They're not confused, his two persons. He's distinctly God, distinctly man, and yet united as one person. But sometimes we think, well, yeah, that was easy for Jesus because he's God. No, you see, he was the true man as well. Have you not read? The implication is Jesus had read. Have you not read? You should have read. Turn to Matthew 19 and verse 3. Matthew 19 and verse 3. And there came unto him Pharisees, trying him, testing him, and saying, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said, Have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So here the Lord Jesus quoted from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Turn now to Matthew 22 and verse 31. Matthew 22 and verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So on this occasion, the Lord quoted from Exodus chapter 3. So clearly, the Lord Jesus expected that the people would be reading the scriptures, and it was to their own spiritual, practical, eternal detriment if they did not read the scriptures, and it was for their own spiritual, practical good and prosperity when they did read the scriptures. Now, of course, we understand. I understand. Reading the Bible, you need the Spirit of God to take that word and make it a reality to your own conscience and your own heart and soul. But if you're not reading the Bible at all, and that's not going to happen. And throughout the Lord Jesus Christ's life on earth, recorded in the gospel histories, he quoted from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea, Jonah, Zechariah, Malachi. I'm not talking about those references in the Gospels where the Gospel writer said he fulfilled this passage of the Old Testament. I'm talking about passages where Jesus actually quoted from these Old Testament books. You see, we need to know the Scriptures. Turn now to Luke chapter 11 and verse 27. Luke chapter 11 and verse 27. And it came to pass, as he said these things, a certain woman out of the multitude lifted up her voice and said unto him, unto Jesus, Blessed is the womb that bare you and the breasts which you did suck. But he said, Yes, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So would you know true blessing in your heart, in your life, in your family life? Then you need to hear the word of God. Of course, when it's proclaimed verbally, but hearing the word of God by reading the word of God. And of course, you can hear the word of God by reading good expositions of that word by Christian authors. Those Christian books, of course, are not scripture, though they will quote scripture. They explain scripture. You will get scripture truth into your own heart and soul. And you see, that is how you become blessed, by hearing the word of God and then, of course, practicing it, keeping it, doing it, obeying it. So now, fourthly, of course, it means to schedule a time and place to read your Bible and to pray as well. And perhaps you also need to make time to read Christian books. Obviously, you have to make some time somehow, but especially concerning reading your Bibles. And the Lord Jesus is our example in this matter. He rose up a great while before it was day in order to seek God in prayer. And that's not an example of him reading the scriptures, but he knew that to have that time alone with God, he had to get up early to do that. And again, I know that's not easy. If you've got several children that are under the age of 6, and you've got a nursing infant, and you're not sleeping through the night, I know it's difficult. I'm not being harsh or unrealistic. But still, look at your life, look at your schedule, plan out some time when you can indeed read the Word of God in particular. And think then of Philippians chapter 4. Turn there in your Bibles, Philippians 4 and verse 13. Philippians 4 and verse 13. A well-known verse that's often quoted. You should quote it to God in prayer. You can shoot that prayer up like Nehemiah at any time of the day or night. Whenever you are faced with such situations that are challenging, I can do all things in Him that strengthens me. So if you want to have personal Bible reading each day, you can say, Lord, you have said through Paul in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, including this, making time somehow in my hectic schedule, and not just a passing 3 minutes or 5 minutes, not just reading a daily devotional on my smartphone, but actually reading my Bible, and more than just a few minutes. Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Give me that strength. And then you can think of Paul's words in Philippians 3 and verse 10. You can flip over there since you're in Philippians. Philippians 3 and verse 10. Paul said that it was his prayer that, verse 10 of Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, it's the resurrected Christ who will give us resurrection power to live a godly life. With all of its challenges, with all of its difficulties, with all of its joys, with all of its sorrows, he can indeed do that. And we need to ask him for that resurrection power to be able to follow him by reading his word. But now, in a more focused way, there is this need, we believe, as pastors, for reading good Christian books. And as I begin on this particular aspect of this morning's message, I want to again give a necessary qualification and an exhortation. The reading of Christian books should never replace the reading of your Bible. However, the reading of Christian books should never be regarded as unnecessary. There are some folks who sincerely say, well, I have my Bible. What else do I need? That's all I need. I have my Bible. Well, we must remember, we are not the first Christians to read and study the Bible. There have been numerous godly saints who have gone before us, who have studied the scriptures and explained the scriptures in written form in what we call Christian books so that we may better understand God's word. We should never regard the reading of Christian books as a burden. We should never regard it in a negative light, but rather we should regard the reading of Christian books as a privilege and delight. So now, some scriptures which illustrate the need to read Christian books. Turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. And he, Jesus, said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. We need to stimulate our hearts and our minds, again, first of all, by reading the Word of God, the Bible, but we need to stimulate our hearts and minds by the reading of Christian books that explain the Bible, that exegete it, that apply it to us, even as Jesus did in that example I gave you earlier with the disciples when they said, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. So we need to stimulate our minds and our hearts by the reading of excellent Christian books so that we will love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. Our minds are always to be engaged in such an exercise. Turn now to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Give diligence to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. So these words were written, as most of you know, by Paul to a young pastor named Timothy. But what he wrote to Timothy here can be applied to every single Christian, whether young or old, whether man or woman. We are to be diligent. We are to handle aright the word of truth. Well, if you want to make sure you're handling aright the word of truth, it does help at times to read what a godly man of a previous generation or even a present generation may have written about that particular passage. Because if you now have some novel understanding of that particular verse, you're convinced you have insight that no one else has, but you read this other author from the present generation or past generation, and he says something very contrary to your opinion, but you want to hold on to your opinion because you think you have fresh insight. Well, probably you don't. You're probably wrong. And then if you looked at another author on the same passage and he agrees with the first author and not you, you see, it's a quality control. And that's why it has to be good Christian books. There are lots of things out there, as you know, on the internet, in books that are called Christian that are really not Christian. So that's why you have to be careful what you're purchasing and reading. And you have to be a Berean as you read Christian books. But still, the point is, to handle aright the word of truth, you need to know your Bible. But reading good Christian books will help you to do that as well. Turn to 2 Timothy 4. You're already in 2 Timothy. To chapter 4 and verse 13. Second Timothy 4, verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, bring when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Now, most commentators believe that the parchments were probably referring to portions of Scripture, and they believe that the books were actually other books. They're not identified, but clearly Paul wanted other books. And one of my fellow pastors pointed out that in Acts 17, Paul quotes a poet of the Greeks. And so you see, he was aware of poetry written by even pagans. We don't know how he was aware of it, but somehow he was. So we're not to be sticking our heads in the sand, as they say, and try and being ignorant of things. We are to read Christian books so that our hearts and minds will be expanded in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, history's lessons should also urge us to read Christian books. Here I quote from a man of a previous generation, and see if you can figure out who it is. Yes, it is a press from which shall soon flow in inexhaustible streams, pure truth. Like a new star, it shall scatter the darkness of ignorance and cause a light heretofore unknown to shine amongst men. End quote. Anybody want to venture a guess besides the pastors of the church? Nobody's a brave soul. Yes, Doug. Good guess. Right country, wrong man. Linda, you still want to guess?
No, because I was going to say Spurgeon.
No. John?
Gutenberg.
Very good. It was Johann Gutenberg, the inventor of what was called the printing press at that time. So historians are agreed, even secular historians, that Gutenberg's printing press, which of course was used to print the Bible, that's what Gutenberg was referring to. But historians have agreed that Gutenberg's printing press was instrumental in the providence of God in unleashing a significant word-based movement called the Protestant Reformation, and then eventually Puritanism in the British Isles. And the Reformation, Puritanism, and the spiritual descendants of these mighty God-given revivals have influenced subsequent generations throughout the world for both spiritual and practical good. The printed Bible primarily, but also printed Christian books, have been used by God for the spread of the kingdom of Christ and the spiritual strengthening of believers. And it is significant that whenever the Word of God and its explanation have been verbally proclaimed through preaching, as well as published in written form, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has prospered. Now, of course, we understand there are e-books. We understand you can have electronic books. So when I say the printed page, I'm not ignoring that reality. If you choose, as some brethren here in the church do, to read on your tablet, to purchase books and read them on your tablet, that's fine. You're reading, really, the printed. It's electronic, but it's the printed page. So now your pastors are updating some handouts that are not available today, but which I'm working on, and I need to run them by my fellow pastors before they're distributed to you, but some handouts giving you recommendations of Christian books to purchase and read, put in different categories. This has been done in the past by the pastors. The last time was 2008, actually, as far as I could understand. So we're updating that. We'll make that available in the very near future so that if you have some questions, well, what should I buy in this area or that area? That will help you. But now I'm going to do what Pastor Martin has done in the past on different occasions. I'm going to recommend some specific books. Recently, your pastors have done this on Wednesday nights. Pastor Chansky has, Pastor Carlson has, I have. Pastor Hoffmeyer, of course, has been in the Philippines. So we have done this on Wednesday nights, but I'm going to run through some recommendations. I realize there's a lot of books I'm going to mention. This is what Pastor Martin did. I won't do it as well as he did, I'm sure, but at least give you an idea of what is available in the bookstore downstairs. And again, we're in the process of increasing the number of titles available, so that's another matter still. But first of all, there are various tracts and pamphlets. And this one, Ultimate Questions by John Blanchard, if you've never read it, you should read it. You should then use it. And it's also available in multiple languages. I don't know how many, but more than a few. It's an excellent tract or booklet to give to unconverted people, Ultimate Questions. But then there is What is a Biblical Christian? This is also excellent in evangelism. This would be for somebody who does indeed want to read something a little lengthier, and it's excellent about what is a true Christian. But then there's also these booklets that are good. Abortion. Again, it's a little longer. It's a booklet, not a tract, but it is, if somebody's willing to read it, it would be very helpful to them to understand why abortion is sin, why it is wrong. Another booklet, Reading Your Bible. This is an example with a reading plan. This is put together by Jeffrey Thomas. It's one possible way in which you can help yourself to read through the Bible. And then there is the J.C. Ryle booklet entitled A Call to Prayer. Again, if you've never read it, it's not lengthy. It's very good. It's classic J.C. Ryle. If you want more information on the 5 points of Calvinism, this is done by Pastor Jack Seaton from Scotland. It's a classic booklet that just goes through what are the 5 points of Calvinism. And then joined to that, but by a different author, the practical implications of Calvinism. It's not just for the head, it's for the heart and the life, by Albert N. Martin. So those are some tracts, some booklets that are worth reading, that are worth giving out to others as well. And then in the bookstore, there are various children's books. There's quite a few of this series. They're really excellently illustrated about famous Christians of the past. This one is on Athanasius. And even as an adult, you can read this book and learn about Athanasius. But they're really very, very good. And then there's a whole series of books for children. Now, these are not for the youngest of children, but these are for older children. There are no pictures of Jesus. Martha and Mary, friends of Jesus, but no pictures of Jesus. They're very faithful to the scriptures. They're really very good for children. Moses, the man of God. Hannah, the mother who prayed. There's a whole series. But if you have younger children, please speak to one of the mothers in the church who's already raised up younger children who could recommend how to start using books for very young children to train them to sit still. You train them to sit still in family worship. That's where you begin. Then it's easier on the Lord's Day. And you want to educate them from the Word of God. And you can use some excellent Christian books to that end. But now some classics. If you've never read Knowing God by J.I. Packer, you should. This book, it says right at the top, over 1 million copies sold. That frankly seems to me to be low, but I guess they know what they're saying. But J.I. Packer, Knowing God. It's an excellent book if you've never read it, and it's very readable. Another classic, The Sovereignty of God by Arthur Pink. This was the first book I ever read as a new Christian. It is really an excellent treatment of that doctrine, that topic, the sovereignty of God. Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney, a modern author. He is very much alive. I think he labors in the Midwest in a seminary presently. And this book is excellent for a young Christian or even an older Christian, someone who's been a Christian a while. The Christian Life by Sinclair Ferguson, a doctrinal introduction. It is really very succinct, but very accurate, dealing with various doctrines in the Bible. And Sinclair Ferguson is an excellent author. So that would be very good to read. They're not difficult to read. And one brother in the church told me the other day that he sometimes reads a particular book. Depending on the author, it may be that in the night he reads simply 5 pages. But he consistently reads 5 pages Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night before he goes to bed. And he's getting through various books, even large books, by doing that. And that is the way you can get through Christian books as well. Puritan paperbacks. Thomas Watson wrote this particular treatise, this book, All Things for Good, dealing with Romans 8:28. Thomas Watson's one of my favorite Puritans because I just think he's really very clear. And his illustrations are always excellent as well. So that would be another book to read. Don't forget the Shorter Catechism, especially if you have young children, to start to go through the questions and answers. As many of you know, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It's an excellent tool to teach your young children the truths of Scripture. And then moving on. And again, we'll have these on a handout for you, these various titles, so you don't need to worry about writing them all down. The Let's Study series, published by Banner of Truth, is really excellent. There are different authors who have done these commentaries, but they're not just commentaries. They're really devotional, but they're not just devotional. They are an explanation, not in detail, not with great technicalities, but an explanation of scripture passages, working through each book from beginning to end. This one, as you can see, is on Acts by Dennis Johnson. I've read it. It's excellent. But there are quite a few. I don't remember how many there are presently. I don't think they've done every book in the New Testament, but they've done many of them. And then this is a two-volume set. Pastor Martin told me a long time ago that he loves these series by Jeffrey Wilson. Originally, they were individual books, but then Banner of Truth has put them into two volumes. And it was originally called A Digest of Reformed Thought. They're not strictly speaking commentaries, although that's what it's called, but he does take and explain passages and or verses of the New Testament, and he does it very clearly. But he frequently quotes from various Reformed authors, and when he does, of course, they're just pure gold. And he always puts in brackets who that author was that he was quoting. Sometimes it's somebody who is relatively contemporary, John Murray. Sometimes it's John Owen. Sometimes it's Lenski. It can be a variety of Reformed commentators. But it's very readable. You can use it for devotions, which I actually have done that for large portions of it. And then Pastor Carlson's patron saint of the Old Testament, and probably mine too, Dale Ralph Davis. I've read his commentary on Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. I've not read his on Daniel or on the Psalms. But these are just superb. We've used them for family worship. You wouldn't use them if you have really little kids for family worship. They're too little. But if you have teenagers, they're not too young. But for personal devotions, you can read through them. It is extremely edifying. Gives you real understanding of these books of the Old Testament. Judges, 1 Samuel, the whole, the ones that I've just mentioned. And then there are the Welwyn series. That's what these are called. They've been around for a while. The older covers look different. This is the newer covers. And this one here, I know individuals who have read this. I have not read it. Daniel, Dare to Stand Alone by Stuart Alliott, who is a modern writer, though presently I think he's probably in his 80s. Those who've read it have said that it is really very edifying. And then moving on, the Ten Commandments are under attack, wrongly. This is Thomas Watson's book on the Ten Commandments. I've read it. I've read it years ago. One of the things I didn't like about it, so I'm trying to be objective, and I don't know if they've changed that in the modern version, is he would put in italics some Latin phrases, but it was not translated. And I don't know Latin like Pastor Chansky. But you can benefit from it anyway. He doesn't address certain matters in this book because they were not hot issues in his day, which is why this book is also excellent on the Ten Commandments. I say Dauma. I don't know if it's Dauma or Duma. Maybe some of our Dutch folks can tell me. I believe he's still alive. It's translated from the Dutch into the English. And he deals with a lot of very practical, relevant issues, such as even suicide, euthanasia, abortion. He deals with a lot of contemporary practical issues related to the law of God. Pardon? That title, Courtney, is The Ten Commandments, Manual for the Christian Life by J. Dauma, D-O-U-M-A. And I still have a little bit of time, believe it or not. Discovering God's Will by Sinclair Ferguson. If you're trying to determine God's will for your life, you should read this book. It's excellent. I have not read this book, but I know individuals who have commended it highly. Deserted by God, Sinclair Ferguson. And on the back he tells you, suffering, failure, sin, illness, loneliness, disappointment, they all come in a seemingly endless variety of shapes and sizes. At times, there seems to be no way to turn, either backwards or forwards. There is no light at either end of the tunnel. For many people, such experiences raise the question, why has this happened to me? Has God abandoned me? Can anybody help? Is despair all that is left for me? There is an answer to these questions. In fact, there is a whole series of answers. Deserted by God begins with the question, can anyone help me? And draws on the experience of the psalmists in the Old Testament to help us to begin to understand the ways of God. It shows how others have walked the same pathway before us. They provide us with wisdom, which will lead us to the conviction of the closing chapter. That we are never deserted by God. So deserted by God, Sinclair Ferguson. And just briefly, The Hole in Your Holiness by Kevin DeYoung, a modern author. Pastor Carlson highly recommends this. I've not read the book, but I trust his judgment on the matter. Thoughts for Young Men by J.C. Ryle. The Purity Principle by Randy Alcorn, an excellent book for young men and older men. Gospel Intimacy by Pastor Dunn. Withhold not correction, parents. Don't justify your children's sins. Don't excuse them. Withhold not correction from your children. Do not rationalize away their sins. You should read Withhold Not Correction. Well, our time is gone. I didn't even get to biographies, but there are plenty of good biographies to read. So I hope this has whetted your appetite to read Christian books, but to not neglect your Bible reading. So let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, and it is like a lamp to our feet and to our pathway. And we pray that you would make all of us, your people in this place, to be students of the word of God first and foremost. Feed us from your word. And then, Lord, help us to carve out extra time in our busy lives to read excellent Christian books, even if it's a few pages a night or day. Lord, help us to profit from your word by reading what others have written to explain and apply your word. We pray, our God, that you would make us as your people in this place to be those who indeed handle the word of God aright, who study the word of God, and who then can be iron sharpening iron with one another, and who can then bring gospel truth clearly to our needy sinners all around us. We ask for these blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.